So we're holding on test on the bays, the third line of the wide line. Oh, good luck, Jacob. So we're holding test on the bays, the third line of the wide line. We learned in the Mishnah, we said, what's a crooked thing that can't be made straight? This refers to somebody who has relations with an erva and fathers a mamzer, where as long as the mamzer is alive, then it's lo yuchal liskoin because he's living over there. And as Tosfos had said, there's like an open sign of his aveda constantly present over there because the mamzer is alive. In fact, when you get down to it, I mean, also the child of a mamzer is also a mamzer, so it continues on in future generations as well. So the Gemara says, "Holid ein loy holid loy." So the implication is only because he fathered a child is it considered lo yuchal liskon, is it considered something that can't be fixed up? Loy holid loy, but implying that if there didn't actually result in a child from it, then in a way it's not so bad. It could be fixed up. The problem with that is the Hatanya of Shimon Menasya and the Goinav Adam, the same of Shimon Menasya says, if a person steals after she acts a gnavoy, then he can return what he stole via Sakin, and that way he fixes up what he did wrong. Gozel Adam, if he kidnaps a instead of a ganavi, the gazlan, he grabs away something from somebody else, same thing, after she acts a gzela via Sakin, he can return the gzela and everything's back to normal. Aval, abal, it's just ish. But Rav Shimon Menasi says a man has relations with a married woman, the osra, the baila, and he made her osra to her husband, nitrad bin ha'olam, the halach loy, then he gets removed from the world and he goes. In other words, there can't be, he can still do. Rashi uses the expression ein loy oy tshuva, that there's no possible tshuva for him. Now, not really, there is possible tshuva for him, but in other words, there's always going to be an after effect of it because he made the woman osra to her husband and there's no way to undo that. So we see that even when there's no child involved, and that itself, the fact that he was mezana with an eishes ish, which is one of the arayas after all, is already mu'uvas l'yuchal liskoin. So why in the Mishnah is Reb Shimon Menasya stressing that only v'holid mimenu mamzer? Then the Braisa continues, Reb Shimon Yechoi Yomer, that now in the Mishnah, Reb Shimon Ben Yechoi had said that mu'uvas l'yuchal liskoin refers to a Talmid Chacham who went away from the Torah. That can never be fixed up in the sense that even if he does tshuva, he still can't make up the lost time, like we talked about yesterday. So, Reb Shimon Yechoi Omer, Ein Omer Baku Gomor Baku Chazir. You don't find, for example, that people say, check this camel to see if it has a mum, or check this chazir to see if it has a mum. Of course not. It's possible to bring out the korban anyway, so there's no sense in checking it for mumin. Ela Baku Tle, what do you say when you need to check? Check this sheep and see if it has a mum, because if it has a mum, we can't bring it to the korban, and otherwise we could. So in other words, Reb Shimon Yechoi is drawing a comparison with something that used to be good and now is not, like a tle, like a sheep that used to be good for a korban and now has a mum and is not. The Ezer, so what is this? What's the nimshal of that? Zetamet Chacham to Pirish Min HaTorah. That refers, like he said in the Mishnah, to a Tamet Chacham who abandoned the Torah, where he's a mu'uvas l'yuchal liskoin, because even it's going to be very hard for him to do tshuva to begin with. The Gemara has an expression elsewhere, shonu pirish koshem mikolam, a person who used to learn Torah and then abandon it is the most, he has the most sinna towards Yiddishkeit, even greater than an Am Haaretz, even greater than an Am Haaretz's wife. The Gemara says over there, so it's very difficult for him to do tshuva, and even if he does, he still can't make up a lost time. Rabbi Yehuda ben Lakish, and in this connection, Rabbi Yehuda ben Lakish continues and says, Kol Tamid Chacham Shapirish Min HaTorah, a Tamid Chacham who abandons the Torah, all of our Kosev Omer, the Pasuk says on such a person, Kitsipur Negedes Min Kina, like a bird that wanders away and abandons its nest, Kain Ish Noded Bimakomai, so is like with a person who abandons his place. In other words, a Tamid Chacham's place is the Torah, like a bird's place is its nest, and therefore when he goes away from it, then he's lost. The Maharal explains, in fact, the idea is that a bird, after all, is a creature that flies in the air. It doesn't have any permanence on the ground. Where is its permanent place? Where is its home base? Where does it ground itself? And its nest. So therefore, if it has no nest, then like it has no place in the world. The same way a Talmid Chacham's place is the Torah. He doesn't really belong to the world. What grounds him in the world is the Torah. No Torah, then he really doesn't have a place. V'omer, and we have another pasuk that expresses this idea. The Navi criticizes the Jewish people. He says, "Ma matzu aveseichem bi'ovel? What did your ancestors find wrong with me? Ki rochaku me'olai, that they separated themselves, that they distanced themselves from me." So, in other words, we're talking about the same idea. We're talking about somebody who used to be close to Torah and then went away from it. So, therefore, the Eibishter is complaining about that more than anything else. So, we see also Rav Shimon Yochai says that's a more of an example of Mo'ovas Lo Yochal Lisken. Anyway, the point is, though, Rav Shimon Menatzia had used the expression that just the fact that he's Mezana with an Eishes Ish is enough to make him be considered Mo'ovas Lo Yochal Lisken because he asked her to her Torah husband. So, why in the Mishnah is he mentioning only Vahulim the men of Mamzer, that only if a Mamzer results from it is it Lo Yochal Lisken? And the answer is like Kasha, Kanba Chosip Pnuya Kanba Eishes Ish. There's no contradiction because the case of the Mishnah is talking about he was Mezana with his sister who's unmarried. So it's Arias, but he didn't ask her to her husband because she's not married. Okay, he asks her, a Kohen will never be able to marry her, but that's not considered Mo'uvas Lo Yochal Lisken because who says she was going to marry a Kohen in the first place? So therefore, it's not Lo Yochal Lisken. So therefore, only if it results in a mamzer can we call it lo yuchal liskein. But kan be'eshes ish, whereas the braisa he's talking about where it was a married woman, where whether a mamzer results from it or not, either way, the fact is he asked this woman to her husband, and that's something permanent that can never be undone. The iboyisema, or another possibility, ha be'eshes ish, both of them can be talking about an eshes ish. V'lekasha kan be'oines kan be'rotzin. It depends whether he was mezana with her be'oines. So then he didn't ask her to her husband, unless her husband is a Kohen, as the Gemara is going to say in a second. Kan berotzen, as opposed to if it was willingly, where then she becomes also to her husband, regardless, even if her husband is a Yisrael. So then, in other words, so if it was ba'oinus, it's only lo yuchal liskin, if there's a mamzer, but if it was berotzen, then it doesn't matter. The boyseima, or a third possibility, ha v'ha ba'oinus, either way can be talking about where it was ba'oinus. Well, like Kasha, kan be'eshes koyin, kan be'eshes Yisrael, it depends whether we're talking about the wife of a koyin or the wife of a Yisrael, because the wife of a koyin, even ba'oinus, is going to be also to her husband. We're going to learn about that more extensively, Be'ez Hashem, in Masech Yevamos, because a large part of Yevamos talks about various dinim of arayas. So we're going to touch on that point over there about an eshes koyin being also to her husband, even if it was ba'onis, unlike an Eishes Yisrael. So with an Eishes Koyin, just the fact that it was Mezana with her, even if it was ba'onis, and even if there's no mamzer, that already is Mo'uvas Lo Yochal Lisken, because she's forever also to her husband. As opposed to if it was the wife of a Yisrael, and it was ba'onis, then unless there's an actual mamzer born from it, then it's not Lo Yochal Lisken. Again, you know, we should stress what it says in the Mishnah that this that we're saying lo yuchal liskon because the mamzer is still alive and the Alter Rebbe phrases it at the end of Perek Zayin of Tanya ma'achash shekhan islabsha beguf vasav adam ma'achash shekhan yodim and islabsha beguf vasav adam, but you can have an exceptional level of tshuva which causes that the mamzer ceases to exist, as in the famous story of Rabbi Yosef from Bashenkovich, the great mashpia who became a balagola. So then you can have that, but other than that, without that, then it's lo yuchal liskin. Since we're mentioning about a Talmid Chacham who went away from the Torah, so the Gemara digresses and mentions another point in that connection. A pasuk says, "V'layotze v'alava ein shalom." The ones who go out and the ones who come in have no peace. In context, the pasuk is talking about the way it's going to be before Yemos Mashiach. But the Gemara Darshan's Amar Rav, Kivin Sheyotza Adam, Edvar Halacha, Ledvar Mikra, when a person abandons learning Halacha and goes to learning only Mikra, only Tanakh, Shuv Ein Lo Shalom, then he never has any peace again. Because when he learns Gemara, he's able to know what the actual halacha is, what to do and what not to do. When he abandons that for Mikra, as important as Mikra is, the fact is you can't learn halachas from it. So therefore, you don't learn how to live as a yid from that. So therefore, you have to have dvar halacha. Rashi uses the expression "shab mishnah mafarsha skima satorah," that the Mishnah explains the hidden things in the Torah. Actually, it's not even really only the Mishnah. You need the Gemara explains in other places that just learning Mishnah by itself is also no good because you can't learn practical halacha from that either. You need Gemara in order to understand what. Actually, the Gemara itself is going to point that out now. So Shmuel Amar Zap Purdish Talmud LaMishnah. So Shmuel says not only when a person abandons halacha and goes to Mikra, even when he abandons Talmud, which is where you learn the halacha from, and goes to Mishnah, where there also the problem is you learn Mishnah as geschmack as it is, the fact is you can't learn from it how to live as a yid. You need to be able to understand how to be able to extract the halacha from the Mishnah, because you have all the time where the Mishnah will say something and you don't know from it clearly what the halacha is, and you need the analysis of the Gemara to be able to do that. The censors, for whatever reason, didn't like the word Talmud, so they often change it to Shas. Anyway, so Rabbi Yochanan says, even going from one Talmud to the other. So Rashi says, particularly, we're talking about from Yerushalmi to Babli. Yerushalmi is more straightforward. You arrive at the actual conclusion in Halacha much more straightforwardly. Talmud Babli, as we know, you have a whole bunch of analysis, and not even always do you get to a Maskana. So in that sense, therefore, a person goes from Yerushalmi to Babli, the Machshakim Oshivani, Rashi brings from Gemara and Sanhedrin, that the Talmud Babli is the Machshakim, it's dark, it's very hard to extract the bottom line from it. So therefore, even that, then the person is Ein Shalom, he has no peace with that. Tosfos actually says, though, another possibility could be, so it sounds like if he goes from Babli to Yerushalmi, then he's good, then he's in good shape. On the other hand, Tosfos says maybe not. Maybe it means actually that it's talking about he learned one, but he still didn't thoroughly understand it yet. So now he goes to the other one. Even he goes from Babli to Yerushalmi. Nevertheless, at least he should have waited until he knows Babli fully. And then that way, at least now when he goes to Yerushalmi, he'll know it more clearly. With that said, also, so now we're saying over here on the face of it that Yerushalmi is better than Babli. On the other hand, and a lot of the Rishonim point out, the Rambam points out, many other Rishonim point out, that from then until now, things have changed a great deal. Because the Rambam himself says that actually there were different times, even during the period of the Gemara itself. That during the time of Rabbi Yochanan, who was the one who was saying this, conditions were actually better for the Jewish people in Eretz Yisrael than they were in Babel. So therefore, they were learning much more clearly. The Yerushalmi style of learning, therefore, was much clearer than the Babli and much better for that purpose. Whereas in Babel at that time, they had a very low level of learning, relatively speaking, because there weren't such great chachamim over there and they were having hardships with the government, whatever. Later on, the Rambam says, things changed. It became the other way around. And then the Gemara Babli became better than the Yerushalmi and it was completed more and they spent another couple of hundred years on editing it compared to the Yerushalmi, and therefore it became better, and they learned on a higher level over there, and therefore now it's better to follow the Gemara Babli, which is of course what we do in practical halacha. We follow the Babli most of the time. Okay, the Mishnah says, since the next Mishnah doesn't directly have to do with Masechta Chagiga, but it mentions a number of areas of halacha. How the Torah Shebaal Peh in them relates to the Torah Shebaal Chsav in them, and one of them is Chagiga, so therefore it mentions that, and Derech Agav, it mentions all the other ones. So the Mishnah starts off, Heter Nedarim Perchin Ba'aver, the concept of Hataras Nedarim is floating around, flying around in the air. In other words, the whole concept that you make a neder, and that a person should have the ability, that a chacham should have the ability to be matir neder, there's really no source for that in Torah Shebaal Chsav. There's really no source for it in Torah Shebaal Chsav. There's like a tiny hint for it in the pasuk. It's mainly Torah Shebaal Peh. It's mainly the Chachamim received in Torah Shebaal Peh that such a thing is possible. There is actually in Oda Torah, and from the Tzemach Tzedek, he points out there's a place where he points out that a deeper meaning of that is Heter Nedarim Perchin Ba'aver. The concept of Hataras Nedarim comes from a far higher level of course than the world. So therefore, it's Perchin Ba'aver, like flying around in the air. There's no room for it on the level of our world. And he mentions also Aver in this connection is a combination of Ur and Yud. So like it comes from the Ur of Chochma. Like there's no source for it on any lower level. So therefore, that's Perchin Ba'aver. There's nothing really, there's barely anything in Torah Shebaal Chsav that Heter Nedarim that tells us about the concept of Heter Nedarim. The next category, Hilchos Shabbos Chagigas V'Me'ilos, the halachas of Shabbos and of Chagiga, which is the subject of our Masechta, and the halachas of Me'ila, Harehem Karorim Akvoyim B'Saira. All of those are like mountains hanging on a hill. Shehim mikra muat b'halachas merubas. There's very little psukim regarding them, and there's many, many halachas about them. And the Gemara is going to show for each one of them how there's a, how you have there's an essential thing about that area of halacha which is not which you don't have really you have barely anything for it in the pasuk. You have like a slight thing for it in the pasuk from which we learn that gigantic concept in halacha. On Amud Beis, there's a Tosfos actually that explains that maybe what it is they bring a different girsa that it's two separate groups. There's karoda. Well, the Mishnah continues. Shein mikra mumort v'alochas merubas. There's very little mikra, very little psukim regarding these things. Shabbos, chagigas, and meilas. But there's lots of halachas. So Tosfos on Amud Beis brings that there may actually be two different groupings over here. The Mishnah may mean to divide it into two groupings. Number one, there are the ones karoda makluyim b'saira. There are the ones that are like mountains hanging on a hair, meaning that there's barely anything. And then there's ones where there's at least a little more, there's mikra mort v'halachas merubas. There's at least something more than just a hair. There's a few psukim, but still not very much. And then there's many halachas that are an outgrowth of them. Marsha explains the symbolism of harorim atloyim b'saira, the expression mountains in the plural, hanging on a hair. Imagine you have two mountains hanging on one hair. You would expect one or the other of them is going to break off, but they don't. Both of them stay hanging on the two ends of the hair, and the same way all of these halachas do end up. We do have a basis for them in Torah Sheba'al Peh, and they are all valid halachas. Then the Mishnah continues, hadinin, the concepts of dinim momenus, baha avoidus, and all of the dinim of avoidum, the most of seder kodshim, hataras vatumus, the concept of tumah vatara, which is most of seder taras, ba'arayas, and the dinim of arayas, which is a good part of seder noshim, yesh lahan al mashi yismoichu, those all have solid bases to base themselves on in Torah, meaning there's many of the details of them in the Torah. The Gemara is still going to point out, we're going to learn on Daf Yud Aleph, that even with those, there are essential points of them that are not in the psukim, and that the Chachamim only know from Torah Sheba'al Peh. But relative to the other ones, there's much more psukim. For example, dinim, there's a substantial part of Parshas Mishpatim, and then Parshas Kiseitze, and other ones that deal with dinim ominous. So you have a substantial number of psukim as compared to Shabbos, Chagigas, Me'ilis, where you have very little. And the Mishnah finishes off, Behein, Hein, Gufei Torah, these are essential parts of Torah, which the Gemara is going to say, what do you mean? And the ones we mentioned before are not Gufei Torah, the Gemara is going to end up explaining at the end of the Perek, it means all of these things that we mentioned in the Mishnah are all equally Gufei Torah. Don't think that some of them are more Gufim than others. There is an interesting idea that the Sefer Doris that is shown him, a Sefer on Jewish history, brings that you look at the way the Mishnah is dividing up the categories of halacha. First of all, I mean, you have major categories of halacha that are missing. Where's, for example, the halachas of kashrus? Where's the halachas of matnas aniyim and trumas and nisrus and all? So he says, actually, it's an interesting possibility that maybe when this Mishnah was composed, and many Mishnayos were composed long before Rebbe, and then Rebbe just incorporated them into the Mishnah. Maybe when this Mishnah was written, there were actually five Sedarim. So there wasn't a Seder Zroim. The concepts of Seder Zroim were divided among other Sedarim. He says maybe most of them actually ended up in Seder Nezikin, because after all, it's about Dinim Ominous in a sense. So you had, there was a Masechta of Moed, which included Shabbos, Chagigas, and Me'ilas. Currently, we have Me'ilas and Seder Kodeshim. But after all, what's most of the time you're going to have Me'ilah, a common thing is going to be with the Korbanos that you have to bring for Yom Tov. So therefore, they would have put it in that Seder. Then you have Nezikin, which is Dinin, Kodshim, which is Avodis, Hataras Vatumus, which is Taras, and Arayas, which would be Noshim. So you had maybe five Sedarim that covered pretty much all of Halacha. And then later on, it was redivided into the six Sedarim that we know of. Later on in the Perek, later on in the Masechta, by the way, in the second Perek, we're going to talk about Toch Reish Sidrei Mishnah, or 600 or 700 Sidrei Mishnah that they had in those times. Doesn't necessarily mean Sidrei Mishnah as in like Zroyim, Moed, Noshim, etc. It means various forms of Mishnayos, various forms in which it was taught. Meaning you had, for example, we have our Mishnayos are based on Rav Meir's Mishnayos, but you also have, for example, Bar Kappara's Mishnayos and Levi's Mishnayos and Rav Yehuda's Mishnayos and so forth. And altogether, all of those different ways of learning amounted to 600 or 700 different ways. Okay, So the Gemara starts off. Tanya, Rabbi Yezer, Omer, Yesh Lahem Amashi Yismoku. The Mishnah had said that the Heter Nedorim, there's nothing to be Somechan. There's next to nothing for it in a posit. Rabbi Yezer says there's a solid basis for it in a posit. Shenema Kiyafli, troop in two places in connection with Nedorim. The Torah uses the expression Kiyafli, which means the word Yafli means to speak out clearly, one by Erchin and one by a Nazir. Therefore, shtei pamim. Achas aflala isur, v'achas aflala heter. One is speaking out clearly that you make something osur, that you say clearly this item is osur to me, and another one, clearly speaking that you come in front of the chacham and you say that I have charata and I want to be matur neder. So therefore, so Rabbi Eliezer says there is a basis for it in the pasuk. Rabbi Yeshua Omer Yesh Lahem Amashi Yismoku. Rabbi Yeshua also says there's a solid basis for heter nedarim in the pasuk. Shenema Hashem Ishvati Va'api. That Hashem said, the pasuk says in Tilim in Hashem's name that I swore in my anger, implying Va'api Nishvati V'Chazarti. I swore in my anger and I changed my mind. Now, how did he change his mind? Because he was matur neder. There is the context that pasuk Hashem Ishvati Va'api is im yivoyun omenu chasi. Tosfos points out that there's two possibilities. That pasuk can be talking about that Hashem swore not to bring them into Eretz Yisrael, and as a matter of fact, Hashem did end up keeping that shore because he didn't bring them into Eretz Yisrael. It can also mean, though, that Hashem swore ba'api in his anger that I'm not going to bring them into El Menuchosi, meaning into Olam Haba, and that you actually have a machlokas in Sanhedrin whether the Dor HaMidbar has a chelik l'Olam Haba or not. So we can say, so Rabbi Yeshua is saying they have a chelik l'Olam Haba. The Eibush just swore in his anger that Hashem Ishbati Ba'api Imi Voyin Omenu Chosi, that they won't come to my resting place in Gan Eden. But then Hashem had Charata and was Matur Neder about that. We have, by the way, there's a Gemara in Bava Basra, in the Agadah of Rav Baba Chana over there, where one time he hears a Baskel saying, Oli Shinishbati, woe to me that I swore, Ba'achshav Shinishbati, me neferly, and now who can be Matur Neder for me? And Rav Baba Chana didn't say anything, and the Chachamim severely criticized him for that, because they said, we're talking about this very Shavua over here, that the Eivish just swore that there's going to be a Golos and there's going to be a Korban, and you have the ability to be Matur Neder. So he says to them, okay, I thought the Eivishter was talking about the Shavua that he's not going to bring another marbles. So they tell him in that case, he wouldn't have said, oi. So yeah, the Gemara tells us in Sukkah that the Dalad Dvorim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Mischaret Aleim B'chol Yoyim, and one of them is that the Eivishter is Mischaret, that we have to be in Golos. So if Rabbi Baba Chana would have said something, then it may mean that there would have been an Nesinus Koyach. That there's no Golos, yeah. What?
How can someone, including the Eibishter, not hear his own neder?
How can someone? Well, it's not matter his own neder. That's the point. Hashem is saying, me made for Lee. Who can be made for me? Meaning Hashem wants one of the Chachamim to do that. And Rabbi Baba Chana had the opportunity, and unfortunately, he missed it. The idea being, in other words, that one idea, in fact, the word that uses in the word that it uses in the Gemara over there is mefer, like hafaras nedarim, which is what a husband does for his wife, rather than what a chacham does for a person. So there's the idea, in other words, that the Eivishter was willing to consider himself, so to speak, like Rabbi Baba Chana is the husband, and he's the mashpia, and he's going to be mashpia to the Eivishter to be matur his neder, yeah. Okay, continues the Gemara. Rabbi Yitzchak Omer Yesh Lahem Amashi Yismoku. Rabbi Yitzchak also says that Atoras Nedarim has what to be Soimachan in a Pasuk. Shenema Kil Nediv Liboy. The Pasuk says anybody whose heart makes him volunteer to give to the Mishkan, implying that if a person's heart doesn't agree with the idea anymore, if he changes his mind, then he can be Matur Neder. Hananya ben Achi Rabbi Yeshua Omer Yesh Lahem Amashi Yismoku. And Hananya ben Achi, the nephew of Rabbi Yeshua, also says Yesh Lahem Amashi Yismoku. They also have what to rely on. Shenema, the pasuk says Nishvati vo akayema lishmo mishpatei tzedkacha. I swore and I will fulfill it to keep your righteous laws. In other words, so Nishvati, I swore va akayema and I will fulfill it, implying that there's a possibility of not fulfilling it. There's a possibility of making a neder or a shvur in this case, and then being matter it. So that's also a source in a pasuk for hataras nedarim. In fact, Rabbi Hanano points out the implication is Mishbati Rakayema, the only reason I'm going to keep it is because of Lishma Mishbate Tzedkacha. But as opposed to, for example, if I were to make a Shavua that, for example, Levatal is a mitzvah, then I wouldn't keep it. So we also see though the concept of Ataras Nedarim. But Rabbi Yehuda says in the name of Shmuel, I have boy hostem. If I had been there when the Tanoim were having this discussion, I would have told them, I have a better argument than all of you. I have a better source in the Torah than all of you. Shenema, the pasuk says, Lo yachel dvarai, he should not profane, he should not desecrate his word, implying who ain't in Michael, he can't desecrate and violate his own word, but other people can be Michael, but other people can violate, can help him violate it, namely by me maternet. So Omar Rava, Lakulu Islahu Pircha, as a matter of fact, Rava says, all of the sources that the Tanoim brought, all of them we can shlug up. Levar mi dishmul, the last by Pircha. Except for Shmuel, there's no way of shlugging that up. Because if we use Rabbi Eliezer's pasuk, we said that Rabbi Eliezer learns from Ki Yathri twice. Well, Dilma Kedir Rabbi Yehuda, Shama Mishum Rabbi Tarfin. Maybe instead we're learning from that something else. We're learning what Rabbi Yehuda learns in the name of Rabbi Tarfin. The Tanya Rabbi Yehuda and Mishum Rabbi Tarfin. You have a case where two people are saying, imagine, for example, Rashi says, you have somebody is walking by. They see him from a distance, but they can't see clearly who it is. So one of them says, so one of the people sitting there says, if that guy is a Nazir, then I'm going to be a Nazir as well. And the other one says, if that guy's not a Nazir, then I'm going to be a Nazir as well. So what happens when he shows up? So the Tanakhama says over there, okay, one or the other of them is going to be a Nazir, whichever one's words came true. But Rabbi Yehuda says in the name of Tarfin, La'olam ein echad mehem Nazir, neither one of them is ever a Nazir, shalanit Nazirus elal haflaw, because Nazirus requires haflaw, requires a clear statement. It has to be when he said, I'm going to be a Nazir, it was known what the circumstances are. If he says, I'm a Nazir, if this guy is such and such, then it's not clear, therefore it's not Yafi. So maybe we learn that from Ki Yafi. You're going to say we learned from Rabbi Yeshua's pasuk Asher Nishbati Ba'afi Dilma Hachi Kamar. Maybe Faket. Maybe the pasuk means Ba'afi Nishbati V'lo Yadan Nabi. Maybe it means the Eibush to say that I didn't change my mind. After all, as Tosfos points out, if we're talking about saying that the Dor HaMidbar is not going to go into Eretz Yisrael, then Ataka came true. They didn't. And if we're talking about that they're not going to come into Olam Haba, well, there is an opinion in the Gemara and Sanhedrin, in the Mishnah and the Gemara and Sanhedrin, that they don't have a place in Olam Haba. So therefore, so it's not necessarily a solid proof from there that the Eved Shtir was actually Matur Neder. Or even that there was the possibility of being Matur Neder. If you're going to learn from Rabbi Yitzchak's pasuk, which was Kol Nedivli, right? Maybe not. Maybe that pasuk is telling us not like Shmuel. Shmuel says in general, when you make a neder, it has to be, even though you decided whether it's a shvua, a neder, or a hekdesh or whatever, it has to be that you not only decided it in your mind, but also you have to verbalize it with your lips. So now, in this case, in connection with the Mishkan, the pasuk wants you to know. Even though he didn't actually say it outright, nevertheless, it's still chal. Which Tosfos points out that, in other words, Shmuel would say that this concept of goma beliboy only applies to kodshi. But any other thing, including hektish, where a person wants to be makdish, kebedek amayis, it's not chal unless he verbalizes it. So we learn that from kol nediv libay. Not that if he changes his mind that he can be makdinedek. So here we're saying, even though he didn't express it with his lips, nevertheless, it's still chal because it's kodesh. If he's learning, if we're going to learn from Hananiah ben Achir of Yeshua's pasuk about nishbati v'akayema, duma kedud of Gidol amar Rab. Maybe not. Maybe that pasuk teaches us like what Rav Gidol says in the name of Rab. The amar of Gidol amar Rab minayin shenishboyin l'kayim as a mitzvah. How do we know that a person is allowed to swear to be mekayim a mitzvah? So in other words, a person is obligated, let's say, to put on tefillin or give tzedakah or whatever. So you would think he's already mushba v'oymed. So what good does it do to make another neder or another shvu on it? It should be considered a shvu shav. No, we say you're allowed to. Shenema, that very pasuk mishpati v'akayem elishma mishpatei tzedkecha. And Tosfos points out, even he would mention Shem Shemayim in that he would say, I swear to Hashem that I'm going to put on tefillin tomorrow in order to be mezanez himself. And you're allowed to do that based on that pasuk. So therefore, so all of their proofs we can shlug up. Ela de Shmuel, less like Pircha, but Shmuel, there's no way of shlugging up. Therefore, there is actually, Therefore, there is, after all, a source. Nevertheless, Maharsha explained that the Tana of our Mishnah can still call it Perchin Ba'aver, because the fact of the matter is the deal. You're saying, Hu Einu Meichel, but the implication is, Abel Acheir Meichel. It's still not really a clear source that you can call it anything more than Perchin Ba'aver. So Amar Rava V'Temer of Nachmi. So Rava, or some say of Nachmi, have said, Hainu Da'amri Inchi. This is like the expression people say, Tova Choda Pilpalta Charifta, better one sharp pepper. And we're talking about the little peppercorns. We're not talking about hot peppers. One of those tiny little peppercorns is better than the late Sana Dakari than a whole basket full of pumpkins. So in other words, the pumpkins are a lot larger than the peppercorn, but nevertheless, the peppercorn has a taste that overpowers them. The same way that Amurda, who's like tiny and very little compared to the Tanoim, nevertheless, his argument outweighs all of them. There's even, in fact, the Ion Yaakov points out, the Gemara mentions in Nedarim that Shmuel himself was physically a short person. So literally, he's like a Pilpalta, he's like a tiny little pepper, but he's got a sharpness to it that the Meloid Sana Dakari didn't have. Okay, so that's Nedarim. Now, the next thing we said in the Gemara, in the Mishnah, was that Hilchos Shabbos is an example of Harorim Atloyim Desaira. It's like mountains hanging on a hair. Because you have very little psukim about it. So the Gemara says, what do you mean? Michtav psivan. It says in the psukim about the dinim of Shabbos. It says in many places in the Torah to keep Shabbos. We have the concept also of what melachos are. We learn from the Mishkan. That's considered it's a limud gomer. It's not just a remez of some kind or whatever. So what do you mean? What do you mean? It's karod mafluyim b'sayra. The answer is loit tzricha l'chidur av Abba. Yes, but the Mishnah is talking about, for example, something like what Rav Abba says, a fundamental concept in Hilchos Shabbos that you don't really have a pasuk for. The Amar Rav Abba, ha'choifa guma b'Shabbos, a person digs a hole on Shabbos, the ain't sorach el la'afara, he doesn't need the hole itself. Now in the Mishkan, when they made holes, it was because they needed the hole itself. They needed to plant plants in it in order to use for the dyes. But here he doesn't. He's only digging the hole because he needs the dirt. Potter alel. So he's potter because it's not considered a malach. So that concept, we wouldn't know that from learning from any pasuk or any limud from a pasuk or whatever. So that's at the kadronim of Luyim Masayra. The Gemara says keman kirev Shimon. Well, then that seems to be only like Reb Shimon. He says that a malacha she'enet tzricha legufa, that a malacha that you don't need for the gufa for the malacha itself. So now, what is in malacha she'enet tzricha legufa? Here we have a three-way machloikas among the Rishonim, what the definition of malacha she'enet tzricha legufa is. Rashi explains to you and in other places that it means that you would rather not have been in this situation in the first place. You would rather not have been in the situation that you need the dirt, that you need to dig a hole to get the dirt. You would have rather have the dirt already ready-made. Same way, for example, the Gemara and Shabbos talks about an example of a malacha she'enet tzricha legufa, let's say there's a mess in the house and you're carrying him out. You would rather the guy hadn't died. Tosfos disagrees with that because Tosfos disagrees with that on various grounds. I mean, you could say the same thing as far as Soser Amanas Livnos. So you would rather there wasn't a house there in the first place that you have to tear down in order to build it. And we know that Soser is a malacha. So therefore, Tosfos rather explains that it means you don't need the main. You're not doing it for the main purpose for which it was done in the Mishkan. Again, the purpose for which they dug holes in the Mishkan was they needed the hole. So therefore, anytime you're digging and you need the hole, then that's a malacha. But here, you're digging it for a side thing, namely because you need the dirt. And then the Ramban has a different explanation that's somewhat like Rashi's, that you're not doing it because you're not doing it because of the goof of the thing itself. You're doing it to remove something. You're doing it to remove something harmful, or whatever. Yeah. Anyway, so Rav Shimon says you're potter. Rav Yehuda would say you're chayim. So according to Rav Yehuda, it's not how to learn the Messiah. The answer is after the time of the Rabbi Yehuda. No, that din that was saying about hachoyfa guma would work even according to Rabbi Yehuda, because hasam masak and hacham akalkal. In the case, for example, let's say a person buries a mess on Shabbos, Rabbi Yehuda would be mechayev him. Rabbi Shimon would patter him because it's a malacha shenitz with a gufa. But fine, over there at least he's masakin. He's fixing something up. He's doing a mitzvah and burying the mess. Hocham Makalko, who are here, he's purely being Makalko, he's making a hole in his chotzer and ruining it. So therefore, even Rabbi Yehuda would agree that Makalko is potter. Now, my Kaharodan Atloyim Besaira, now in what sense are we calling it mountains that are hanging on a hair, implying that there's a little bit of a remez in the Torah for it, there's a hair-like remez. What is that remez? And the answer is the fact that it says in the Torah, the fact that Malachas Machsheves Osra Torah, the fact that we know that only Malachas Machsheves is also only when the Malacha is important to you and you have Kavana for it, as opposed to over here, he's not having Kavana for the goof of the Malacha itself. Now, it doesn't really talk about that. It talks about that in connection with the Mishkan. It said it's called the Mishkan Malachas Machsheves. It never actually says anywhere that that is meant to be applied to Shabbos as well. We only learn it by the fact that in the upcoming Parsha, in Parshas Vayakel, because it talks about Shabbos, and right after that, it talks about the Mishkan, then therefore we learn that whatever applies to the Mishkan applies to Shabbos. So that's it's like a whole mountain over there, or like Marshall says, two mountains hanging on one little hair over there of understanding that the Malachas Machsheves applies not only to the Mishkan, but also to Shabbos. Okay. Next, the Mishnah had said Chagigos. The next thing that's considered Karorim Afloim Besaira is the Dinim of Chagiga. So Gemara says, Michtav Ksivan. What do you mean? It says in the Pasuk, bring a Chagiga. And the answer is, Loi Tzricha. Yeah, but what the Mishnah is talking about, L'chida Omalei Rapapa La'abaya. Namely, what Rapapa asks Abaya. A basic question. The Torah never tells us the words Korban Chagiga. It says V'chagoysem. So mimai dahai V'chagoysem oisei chag la'ashem zvicha. How do you know b'chlal that it means a korban? Maybe the Torah is only telling you celebrate the Yom Tov, have a lot of simcha, eat meat like we learned before. Ein simcha l'vavaser. Tosfos brings another possibility. Choygu choga can mean dancing, like your choygu v'yanu kashiker. So maybe the Torah is telling you dance on Yom Tov. How do you know b'chlal it means a korban? So that's something you don't find in the pasuk. So the Gemara says, what kind of a question is that? When the Eveshter tells Moshe to tell Paray, send out the Jewish people, what is he telling them? Just go and go let them have a party and a dance? Obviously, it means they need to do something more than that. So you're going to say, maybe Taka, the Eveshter is just telling Moshe, let him go out and celebrate in honor of the Eveshter for a couple of days. No, later on, by Yom Moshe, gam after tikin biyadenu zvachim ba'olus, Moshe says to Paray, when Paray after Machas Choshech says, you got to leave your animals behind, so Moshe tells him, absolutely not, gam after tikin biyadenu zvachim ba'olus, you in fact are going to be giving zvachim and oilus to us, you're going to be giving from your own animals to us to bring us korbanos. So you see that to begin with, when he was telling him, biyachoyguli, means that they have to bring korbanos. So therefore you see that a chagiga is a korban. The question is still, maybe the chagosim oiso is dilma hachi kamer achmana. Maybe the Torah is saying, ichlu shsu, eat and drink, v'choygu choga kamoi, and make a yomtiv before me, or dance before me, as Tosfos says. So in other words, maybe the animals that Moshe is telling Paro you're going to have to supply are going to be for b'sar taiva, for the people to possibly be able to shecht animals and eat meat. Who says that it means a korban? And the answer is, loy sapadaydach. You can't think that way. Dichtiv, v'lo yodin chelev chag yad berker. The pasuk says, you can't allow the fat of my chag to be left over until the morning. Now, the sapadaydach, the choygu, if you're going to say that the word chag only means a celebration, or only means a dance, does that have any fat that you can be talking about leaving over on the mizbeach? Obviously, we have to be talking about a korban. The Gemara says, why? Maybe you could argue what the Torah is saying is by v'loyolin chelev chagi means chelev habav is man chag loyolin. The chelev that is brought during the time of the chag, you shouldn't allow to leave over on the mizbeach until the morning. You have to burn it overnight. So in other words, not that there's a separate korban chagiga, but during the time that you're eating and drinking and feasting and dancing and so forth in honor of the Yom Tov, during that time, any korbanos you bring during that time, you're not allowed to leave the fat over. So then what would the pasuk be saying? So what would be the implication? And the rest of the year, you would be allowed to leave that fat overnight. After all, the pasuk says that the fat of all the korbanos has to be stay on the mizbeach all night, and you can burn it until the morning. So any korban throughout the year, you can't leave overnight. So obviously, therefore, v'lo yodin chelev chagi can't just mean korbanos during the Yom Tov season. It has to mean an actual korban chagiga. Gemara says, why? Dilma imahu, maybe not. Maybe if you had that pasuk kol alayla adaberter, hava amina hahula esse, then you would argue that means, okay, you failed to offer the chalav overnight, then you were over on an esse. So now you could argue also makes it that now you're over on a loises as well. The pasuk says that when you bring the korban pesach, that you shouldn't allow any of the meat that you shecht on the evening before shouldn't be left over by Yom Rishon LaBoker until the morning of the first day. So in context, the pasuk is talking about that you're not allowed to leave over the meat of the Korban Pesach and not eat it. But fine, it also teaches us the concept of noiser. So from that alone, you have a lav. So obviously, v'lo yolin chel of chagi is not just to tell us a lav. Moses says, so what? Okay, so then if you fail to bring the chalav overnight, then you're over on two lavin plus an esser. Now, Tosfos points out that most of the time we don't say that. Most of the time we would rather say that a pasuk, that an extra lav in a pasuk is teaching us an extra din rather than just being an extra lav. However, over here, saying that it means to tell us a new din means, in effect, to create a new kind of korban that we otherwise wouldn't have known of. So where do we have a source to actually create this new korban chagiga that we never knew of before? We should say it means that any korbanos that you bring during that season, if you leave it over, then you're on tulav and an asset. Ela asya midbar midbar. Rather, the answer is, how do we know that a chagiga is an actual korban and not just a celebration? Because we have a gzera shava on the word midbar. Moshe is telling Paro that the Jewish people are going to celebrate and make a chagiga to me in the desert. You have a pasuk in Amos where the Navi is explaining to the Jewish people that Eibishter doesn't need your korbanos; he needs your tshuva, ma'is, and tovim. And he says to them, after all, hazvachim u'mincha yigashtem li b'midbar. Did you bring me korbanos and menachos in the midbar during the 40 years? We learned this pasuk the other day in the Gemara. By the way, we had the discussion whether did they bring the korban tamid during all the 40 years in the desert or not. So malahalan zvachim afkan zvachim. So there, the pasuk clearly mentions zvachim, which means korbanos that are shechted. The same way over here, then it means. So the word midbar then teaches us about zvachim, about korbanos that are shechted. Now Tosfos then says, okay, so in that case, why do we need the word v'loyolim chelav chagi? That teaches us that we're talking about a shlomim. Without that, zvachim is a generic term that includes all kinds of korbanos. So a chagig might very well be an oila. But the fact that it says v'loyolin chelav chagi implies that we're talking about a kind of korban where only the chelav goes on the mizbeach, namely a shlomim. And oila, the whole thing goes on the mizbeach. So that's how we learn ultimately that a chagiga is an actual korban. Umay b'karona tluim b'saira. So why are we calling it like mountains hanging on a hair? What's wrong with that limud? After all, Rashi says raya v'dolehi. It's a tremendous, strong raya. It's practically written in the pasuk. The answer is, we know, as a general rule, divrei Torah and divrei Kabbalah lo yafinan, because we don't make a gzeira shava between Chumash and Nevi'im. And here we're doing just that. We're making a gzeira shava on the word midbar between a posuk in Chumash and a posuk in Navi. So therefore, it's only karorim akluim b'saira. Therefore, it can be counted only like it's hanging on a hair. Next. The Mishnah had said me'ilois. The next thing that we said is karorin afluin b'saira is me'ilois. Here's where Tosfos says, by the way, that maybe me'ilois already is in the category of mikra mu'at v'halachas merubas. Maybe already you have another category of ones where there's relatively few psukim and a lot of halachas. Because, I mean, there's more than just harorin, there's more than just a saira when it comes to me'ilois. The Torah does talk about it in a few psukim in Parashas Vayikra. So the question is, michtav k'sivan. It says it pretty openly in the pasuk. So it's more than just harorim afluim b'saira. It's more even than mikra muat. The answer is amar rami b'chama lo nitzrucha el l'chiditznan. Yes, but the Mishnah is talking about a basic concept in Hilchos Me'ilah, which we learn in a Mishnah, and there's no real source for it in a pasuk. The Mishnah says hashliach she'asa shlichusay. Now, suppose a balabas has money of hektish, and he mixes up and accidentally takes that money of hektish, forgetting that it's hektish, and gives it to a shliach to go buy something for him in the store. If he does exactly what the balabas sent him, balabayis mal. Then we say the balabas is the one who committed me'ilah. Loy osa shlichuse shliach mal. And if he didn't do exactly what the guy sent him, for example, the balabas sent him to get a shirt, and instead he got a jacket, then the shliach is, so then the shliach is the one who committed me'ila and is going to be chayav the korban. So the question is, what's the basis to say that if the shliach accomplished his shlichus, that the person who sent him should have committed me'ilah? Since when do you have one person does an aveda and the other one is chayiv? And usually we don't. For example, Reuven sends Shimon to kill somebody or to steal from him. We say, and Shimon is going to be chayiv, Reuven is not. So why all of a sudden are we here? Are we saying that Reuven is chayiv? It's true he didn't know, but nevertheless, the question is, why is that considered? Why is that considered a valid shlichus? So Hainu Karo not including the Saira. So therefore, we can call that like mountains that are hanging on a hair. Omar Rava, but Rava says, my kusha, why do you find that so hard to understand? Dilma shiny me'ila, the yalfa chet mitruma. Maybe me'ila is a special case. We have a gzeira shava from truma, and like we said before, gzeira shava is a very strong raya. Where it says chet by me'ila and it says chet by truma, ma hosam shluchet shalom kamoise. Now, when you send somebody to, as a shliach to separate truma from you, then for you, then that separation is valid, and what he separated is considered truma. So the same thing over here by me'ila, we would say that shlichus is valid, and as long as he accomplished your shlichus word for word, then it's considered that you did. So malhausim shluchet shalom kamoise. Afkan shluchet shalom kamoise. So what's wrong with that? Why are you calling that only a saira? No, but what the Mishnah means when it says that there's something important in Hilchos Me'ilah, which is like mountains hanging on a hair, rather we're talking about a different deal. That it says in a Braisa, the Braisa continues about that case where the Balabas sends the Shliach with money to buy something. Nizka Balabais for Nizka Shliach. What happens on the way while the guy is on his way to buy the shirt? So the Balabas remembered that this is money of Hekdish, and the Shliach did not remember. So then Shliach Moal, then the Shliach is the one who committed Me'ilah. You've got to ask Shliach Anya, my Kovid, what did the poor Shliach do? The Balabas is potter, I understand, Rashi says, because once he remembered, then we say, in effect, he revoked the guy's shlichus. We would say he wouldn't be continuing to send the guy if he had a way of getting a hold of him. Nowadays, he would call him up and tell him, don't go. But in those times, he didn't have that option. So therefore, it's considered he was mevatel the shlichus. So therefore, the guy's not a shliach. But how can you blame the poor shliach and make him responsible to bring a korban me'ilah and keren v'chomesh and all that? In fact, actually, the Siach Yitzchak points out another reason we should say the Balabas is Potter, because now he's not a Shogig anymore. Mila only applies with Mazid. The answer is, he says, because Rav Ashi is going to point out that it's similar. The Gemara, the next line of the Gemara is going to say that it's similar to taking Mois Hekdesh and spending it on Cholin. So therefore, in other words, that here he's not the Shliach of the Balabais anymore. In other words, in effect, the point is there's no more Shlichus. Therefore, Rashi focuses on that point, the fact that the Shlichus has gone away, rather than focusing on the point that the Balabas is now a maid. So Hainu Karorin Apluin Besaira. So therefore, we can call Me'ila Harorin Apluin Besaira. Omer of Ashi Mai Kusha, but still Rav Ashi says, why do you find that so hard to understand? Dilma Midi Dahabi Moitzi Am Moitzi Mois Hekdesh L'Cholin. Maybe it's not really any different than any case where a person takes money of Hekdesh and spends it on Cholin. You do it B'Shoigig, then you're Moil. The same way over here. The fact is it was B'Shoigig. The Meshaleach was Mevatel B'Shlichus. There's no more Shlichus. Therefore, now the Shliach is B'Shoigig. Okay, poor guy, he didn't know better. New, and every other guy who uses money of Hekdesh is also a poor guy, he didn't know better, but that's the way it works. So that's not a strong, so that's not a reason to call Harorim Atloim Besaira. Ela, Omer Rav Ashi, L'nitzrucha Ela L'chidetnan. Rather, Rav Ashi says, here's what the Mishnah means when it says Harorim Atloim Besaira. Here's another din in Hilchos Me'ilah. Notol Evan a Kodesh al Hekdesh. If a person takes a stone or beam of Hekdesh, whom Hareza Le'mo'al, he has not yet committed Me'ilah, because he hasn't actually taken it out of the Rishus of Hekdesh yet. Nosna l'chaveroi, but if he gives it to his friend, humal v'chaveroi l'imal, then he committed Me'ilah, because once he gave it to the other guy, then he takes it out of the Rishus of Hekdesh. That is when Me'ilah is chal, so now he is going to be responsible to pay the Kerem v'chaymesh and bring the korban v'chaveroi l'imal, but his friend will not have committed Me'ilah, because at that point it's already considered his. So the other guy has to pay Hekdesh, the friend does not have to. So Rav Ashi says, Mechdi, Mechdi, Mishkal Shokla. After all, the other guy took it. Mali Hu, or the original guy took it. Mali Hu, Mali Chaveri. So who cares whether he took it or whether he gave it to the other guy? So it shouldn't make a difference. As soon as he took it, it should be out of the Rishus of Hekdesh, and already it should be. So yes. So why are we saying that when he first takes it, he's not yet Moyel, and only when he gives it to his friend is he Moyel? The answer is, well, my kusha, the Gemara says, why is that so hard to understand? Duma Kedesh Shmuel. Maybe the reason for that din is based on the way Shmuel explains it. Duma Shmuel, Hocha Begizber Hamasuris Lai Avne Binyan Askinan. We're talking about over here, we're not talking about a regular guy who walks into a warehouse of Hekdesh and takes a beam from there. We're talking about a Gizber who's responsible. These things are under his control. So Hamasuris Lai Avne Binyan, who has these stones for the building, Askinan is what we're talking about. So he has them under his control. He's the one who decides when we open up the warehouse and take out the bricks. So wherever it is, even before that, it was in his Rishus. So now when he takes it out of that warehouse, it didn't change Rishus. So that would explain why, therefore, he's not committing Me'ilah until he gives it to the other guy, because at that point, it's not in his Rishus anymore. So that's not a reason to call the Harurim a Flui Messiah. Ela mi Seifa. Rather, we can answer if the Seifa of that same Mishnah that's the problem. The Mishnah continues, B'na B'soich Beis. So if he takes that stone and builds it into his house, Hareza Leimal, then he hasn't yet committed Me'ilah, Ad Sheyodr Tachteya B'Shava Pruta, until he actually lives in the house to the value of a Pruta underneath that stone. Which Tosfos says, in that case, what will happen is only a pruta of it will have gone out l'chulin, and right now he'll be chayav to pay a pruta. The rest of the stone, he'll have to live. If the stone is worth $100, only when he's lived in the house to the value of $100, only then will the entire stone become chulin and he'll be chayav for me'ilah for the whole thing. So mechti shanuya shanya. After all, at this point he changed it. Now he was koine it with shinui, because after all he cut it to size. He cemented it in place. Mali dor or mali loydor. Who cares whether we lived there or not? Hainu kaharona pluim besaira. So that's why we call that harona pluim besaira. But the question still is, my kusha, why is that so hard to understand? Maybe we're talking about the din that Rab is talking about. It's not talking about where he cut it to size and cemented it in place. We're talking about Rab says, we're talking about he took the stone and put it on a skylight. So he didn't cement it in place. He just put it there to close up the skylight. As soon as any time he wants, he could take it. There's no shinui in it. So therefore, he wasn't cutting it. So when he lived underneath it, then we would say he committed Me'ilah, because even if you don't change Hekdesh, just the fact that you used it in a Shava Pruta is enough to be Mechayev you, but Loi Dorbe Loi. So that's not a reason to call the Harur and Afloim Besaira. Ela, the Gemara says, no, La'olam Kidirava. After all, we're going to go back to what Rava said, that we're talking about the case where Nizka Balabais for Nizka Shliach, where we said if on the way he sent the Shliach to buy something, and on the way, while he was away, the Balabas remembered that it's money of Hekdesh, and the Shliach didn't realize, we said the Shliach has committed Me'ilah, so we said, poor Shliach, what did he do that he should be Chayav Me'ilah? And Rav Ashi said on that, so what? It's no different than any other case of Shogeg. Here's why it's different. So you, Rav Ashi, are saying, so what? Anytime a person takes money of Hekdesh and uses it for Cholin, it's the same thing. No, the difference is, in that case, a regular case of Shogig, he knows that someplace in his possession, there's money of Hekdesh. So he should be careful. He should keep in mind to not spend that money. And when he does, it's not a total oinus. In other words, it's a Shogig, and maybe even a Shogig coat of Amazin, and therefore it's logical to be Mechayivim for that. Here the Shliach has no idea even that this was money of Hekdesh. He didn't know the Balabas had money of Hekdesh. The Balabas didn't tell him there's any possibility this is money of Hekdesh. Therefore, the fact that we're saying that nevertheless it's comparable and the Shliach is committed Me'ilah, that's Karorim Afluim Besaira. That's a mountain of halachos that depends on one little hair, which we can say there is maybe a reason to compare them, but it's a bit of a shvacha reason, and therefore we call it like hanging on a hair. Okay, everyone. Oh, yeah.